Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast. It's the 2nd of July, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, Eric Pfeiffer, and CJ Miller here today, too, with the news, including the new ag economy barometer dropping and concerns about fertilizer availability and cost. Those stories coming up. Part of the HAT podcast made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin is here. He says the Indiana farm forecast continues to feature pleasant weather, but more humid for the weekend. And yesterday, grain and oil seed markets were mixed. Wheat higher, corn lower, beans steady. Arlen Suderman has market analysis on the HAT Wednesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
How America's farmers are feeling about the ag economy and worries about the price and availability of fertilizer. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today News, brought to you by the Great Indiana State Fair. Turn up the volume, turn on the memories. Celebrate the soundtrack of summer, August 1st through the 17th at this year's Indiana State Fair, presented by Get Prepared Indiana. America's farmers are feeling less optimistic about the ag economy than they were just a month ago. That's according to the latest survey from Purdue University. Here's CJ Miller.
Dr. Michael Langemeyer, director of the Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture, believes the biggest factor why farmers are feeling less optimistic is what's been happening, or better yet, what's not been happening in Washington, D.C.
I think it's policy uncertainty. I know that's kind of a cop-out, if you will, but if you think about it, we've still got some uncertainty related to the farm bill, even though it does seem to be moving through in a reconciliation bill. We've still got uncertainty there, and we've also got a lot of uncertainty with trade and tariffs, and so when you have an uncertain policy environment, I think that negatively impacts that.
Langemeyer also says that those who may be the most pessimistic about the future of the farm economy are likely grain producers.
This is kind of an interesting year when you think about net farm income, to say the least. We've got some positive, particularly in the beef sector, record prices recently, but the crop sector's having another tough year. 24 was not particularly great year for crop producers, and it looks like 25 is going to be very similar.
Higher input costs remain as the number one concern for America's farmers. That's followed by lower crop and livestock prices, and third, rising interest rates.
If you think about the tight margins right now, you can attribute a lot of the tight margins to relatively high break-even prices. Yes, corn and soybean prices are not good, but compared to 2014-2019 period, they're still not as bad as that period. And so I think the high input costs are really on people's minds.
Read the full results of Purdue's Ag Economy Barometer Survey. It's at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
Tensions in the Middle East have raised significant concerns about the price and availability of fertilizers and fertilizer inputs in recent weeks. Josh Linville, Vice President of Fertilizer for StoneX, says a lot of fertilizer input production shut down during the fighting between Iran and Israel.
This fight between Israel and Iran had a very direct relationship to the urea market. So looking at 2024 numbers, Israel was the third largest exporter in the world for urea. Well, Iran, as a precautionary measure, had to shut down their gas fields, which means you shut down nitrogen production. The flip side, Egypt was number four and they had to shut theirs down. A lot of people are like, well, they're far away from the fighting. Why that matter? Well, Egypt relies on Israel for their gas. So they had to shut down their nitrogen production. So when all this started to happen, and then especially when Iran started talking about closing the Strait of Hormuz, prices went crazy. You know, we're talking 20-40% rallies in these markets.
Linville says prices have remained elevated and those higher prices are affecting the potash market too. He adds that producers could face some difficult choices ahead for fall applications of phosphate and potash.
When you look at the phosphate versus the corn pricing, of course, we look at December 26 corn today because any of the phosphate bought today to be applied in the fall, spring is being used to raise next year's crop. And so we look at that relationship between the two of them. It's the highest it's ever been for this time of year. We have beaten the 2008 records that were set. You look at potash, it's on the higher side, not nearly as bad in comparison, but it's still high. And I think farmers are really going to have to sit there and look at it and decide, how important is this?
Linville points out that phosphate does continue to struggle with the lack of Chinese exports. Normally, they're the largest exporter at 8, 9, or 10 million tons a year. The government is restricting that down to 4 million tons this year, quote, if we're lucky enough to get to that point. And USDA's planted acreage report released on Monday shows more corn and fewer soybean and wheat acres. Read more on this and other farm news at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Hey, farmers need equipment? Check out Purple Wave Auction every other Wednesday. They're running ag auctions where everything sells, no reserve, no games. What I love is how they let you talk directly with sellers. Got questions about that tractor? Just ask. That's the kind of hometown service you want. But here's the kicker. Your equipment gets seen by buyers across the entire country. Whether you're buying or selling, jump into Purple Wave's auction rhythm at purplewave.com. Purple Wave Auction. Sold means sold.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Got a nice one here for your Wednesday. Full sunshine, and we're looking at temperatures that are pleasant, humidity values that are pleasant. Am I looking for this tomorrow? Likely not. We are going to be seeing a slight increase in humidity values tomorrow, but probably more for the Friday, Saturday, Sunday time frame. That's when we're going to be seeing a very uncomfortable humidity levels. Right in time for the holiday weekend. So enjoy this here near term, but we're looking at good sunshine, good evaporation, good drying today and tomorrow. And honestly, we're going to continue to see decent drying through the holiday weekend. It's just the fact that it's going to feel just very muggy outside. With breezes, it will help. We will continue to move a lot of moisture out of our soil profile. We will be needing a rain before very long at all. Now, when is that rain coming? I think for a large part of northern Indiana, we probably are going to be dealing with some scattered showers and thunderstorms early Sunday morning to midday. That's when a frontal boundary tries to work in. It doesn't necessarily get through the entire state. It just kind of parks here. We're looking at this being over the top of a heat dome that's down to the south and southeast again. So that's going to trigger some scattered showers and thunderstorms Sunday. I think the rest of us are going to have to wait for Monday, Tuesday, where we see these scattered showers and thunderstorms work through with not necessarily regularity, but it's going to be a very similar pattern to what we saw last week, where it didn't take much to fire off thunderstorms here, there. Not everybody got it. It was about a 60% coverage on a daily basis. That's what I think the first half to two-thirds of next week will be, probably all the way through Thursday the 10th. You get into Friday the 11th, we start to clear out a little bit, and then we get into the weekend of the 12th and 13th. We're putting together a fairly sunny, dry setup. Temperatures a little bit cooler, pulling back a touch, coming across the Great Lakes. And then moving into the week of the 14th, we are dry to start, but seeing showers and thunderstorms come back for the 15th, 16th, and 17th. In my mind, this is going to be a period of fairly timely moisture for growing crops across the region, and we continue to see plenty of heat. The heat units discussion that we had early in the season, I don't think comes back at all here through the middle of July. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
No traction for corn and soybeans. Wheat, though, a bit of a rally. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Tuesday Farm Market Review, brought to you by Purple Wave Auction, where farm equipment finds new life. No reserve online auctions with the local touch you trust and the national reach you need. PurpleWave.com. Sold means sold. Final numbers coming up. We'll begin with market analysis. I grabbed that at the end of the session from Arlen Suderman of StoneX. Corn lower much of the Tuesday session, back and forth, but very quiet in the soybean futures market, and a bit of a rally in Chicago wheat. Arlen, let's start with the USDA report on Monday and how quickly the markets moved off of that report, which was a bit of a non-factor overall.
Yeah, it was one of the quieter June 30th reports I remember in a long time. In fact, if you look at the acreage change for corn in this June 30th report, it was the smallest for the report that we've seen since 2014. The stocks numbers were modestly bearish, but not materially so. Overall, it was just kind of a non-event, which allowed the trade to quickly focus back to the crop that we're growing and the supply that's out in the field right now. And each Monday that we go by, the market starts to anticipate that the crop condition ratings are going to confirm that we have the potential for a big crop out there. And this week was no exception. And we need to keep in mind that the crop ratings are a beauty contest. What does a crop look like? And you can translate that into yield. People argue about that, but it actually translates relatively well. And so all the big traders have their yield models they follow. This time of year, the crop ratings tend to trend lower as the crop matures. But the corn index rating, the corn condition rating, is trending higher, and soybeans are flat. They're not going down. So in both cases, the yield models pushed up, and they're above trend yields, and that means a big supply with questionable demand.
Yeah, the corn rating must have won the Miss America contest by jumping 3 percentage points. So certainly that did not bode well for any kind of higher market move on Tuesday.
Well, certainly so. And when you look at it, Iowa is the garden spot, so to speak. And when you look at the percent that's good to excellent in Iowa, we're looking at 85% good to excellent. That's about as good as you get. That compares to a five-year average of 72%. So much of the Midwest, most of the Midwest, in fact, seeing higher than average, higher than normal type of crop ratings.
Where do we go from here for some positive news? Certainly the trade announcements would be a positive, and we've been waiting for something truly substantive that would be that positive trade announcement, but we still wait.
Yeah, on the near term, we're looking at that July 9 deadline for reaching trade agreements. White House now saying they're looking to announce some trade agreements after the July 4th holiday weekend. Maybe that's a timing thing. I think most countries are trying to maximize the amount of time that they have, get as close to the deadline as possible to get the best deal that they can. Any of those could have some significant implications for our ag commodities, so we'll be monitoring that. And every farmer loves a drought, as long as it's someone else who has to live through it and it helps their prices. So we continue to see the 16 to 45 day outlook show risks of hot and dry for the Midwest. That simply is not moving forward into the 2 week forecast. And unfortunately, that continues to be the case, or fortunately, depending on whether you would benefit or not from it. We continue to have those good growing conditions. So trade is now our best hope, as well as the biofuel policy and the tax bill.
What are the conditions in the crop for Chicago wheat, where we actually do see 7, 8, 9, 10 point gains?
I think that's more of a technical bounce there. We have seen end users coming in and buying that market whenever prices get down to current levels overall. When you look at the winter wheat crop condition ratings overall, they've been decent, pretty close to average, a little above average. This week, they did decline slightly from where they were last week, but they're still about 4 points. When you look at the good to excellent, about 4 points above the five-year average for this time of year.
So when do corn and beans also benefit from a technical bounce?
Well, right now the market is trading in supply. I think we've already traded in big supply of wheat, or typically we tend to maximize that about the time we get to the 50% harvested level. And for the winter wheat crop, we should be there within this week. We should get close to that this week. So I think the market is starting to think about, okay, are we putting in an early low? A lot of times we don't do that until later in the summer, but that is certainly a possibility. For corn and soybeans, though, that as long as this weather holds, we're going to continue to see the debate just how big might the crop be. And so that's going to keep some downward pressure, particularly with the big South American crops, raising some questions there about our ability to export.
Arlen, let's shift over to the protein sector. Pretty quiet day overall in the hog market, but cattle's another story. Very weak.
Yeah, hogs getting a little bit of the downdraft from the cattle. The feeder cattle leading the way lower with more than $5 losses at times, all tied to an announcement by USDA Secretary Rollins on Monday that the border with Mexico is going to reopened to feeder cattle coming north. Now, that gave a quite a reaction from the market saying the supply of cattle is going to increase, but I think is a little bit of an overreaction. If you read the fine print or listen to the details, it's going to open slowly at a few locations with cattle coming from only select states within Mexico and with a pretty strict inspection process overall. So I think the flow of cattle, which at one point averaged about 30,000 per week, is going to probably be much lower than that for a period of time. So maybe the market were overreacting today, but overall that was the primary story that led to the sell-off in the cattle market today.
Market commentary from Arlen Suderman of StoneX and StoneX.com. Now, settlements from Tuesday trade. September corn goes to 406, down 3.25 on the session. D's down 3.5 cents, 422. Over in beans, August 10.29¾, flat, unchanged. Up a quarter on September and up a quarter on November, 10.27¼. And September wheat, a gain of 10¾, up to 549. Meats, though, struggled, especially in the cattle market. August live cattle, 210.75, down 312. And the August lean hogs, 106.95, down 55. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Tuesday Farm Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.